Amen. Well, I was telling Brother Bill too a little while ago that having revival next week at Community Baptist Church, Brother Bruce Freeman is going to be there. He'll be there all week. We're going to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and through next Friday night. So he'll be there all week next week and make it one night. You know, I know the Lord will bless you for it, because he's a good preacher. He really is. He's from Winston-Salem right now. That's where he lives at now. But he was pastoring down in Georgia. And Lord just called him, wanted to go into full-time evangelism. So that's what he's doing now. Basically he's been evangelizing also, but right now he thinks that's what the Lord wants him to do. So he's what he's doing, and I tell you, he's a fine preacher. He really is. He can, I tell you, that's what we need. We need revival. We need revival. Like I said, even in Sunday school, I don't believe we'll have a citywide revival, but I believe the individual churches can have revival. And when I talk about individual churches, when I say individual churches, I'm talking about me and you as an individual, because we are the church. It's not this building. It's not the parking lot. It's not where the stars are within here. It's not where this has been set aside and everything to worship. But we are the church. Without us, it's nothing but brick and mortar. This is all it is, and fabric and wood and stuff like that. But I believe too also that the body of Christ in each church can also have a collective revival also. And nothing else, that's what we need to strive for anyhow. We didn't need to make sure that the Lord is in what we do anyhow. But if you will, you can turn to the book of Psalms, in chapter 63, I'm going to be reading 9 verses there, 1 through 9. This morning, I want to thank you again for the invitation and to come. And my prayer is every time that I stand, I try to do what the Lord wants me to do, and then with the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And, I still say, if an individual gets up here or even teach or do anything, don't have the leadership of the Holy Spirit, then I believe what they must do, they need to go and sit down. But that's me, but I definitely believe in it, because that's what over there in the book of John chapter 14 is talking about. Whether the Comforter and everything, where the Comforter, he will teach you. He will teach us all things. He will teach us what the Word of God says. And not only that, even when we read the Word of God, he will bring it back into our remembrance at the time that we need it. And some people say, well, you know, I don't go along with that. He says, you ought to be able to remember everything you read. I said, well, if that's the case, then I made the will of God then, because I cannot remember everything. I says, I can't even remember my name hardly. I mean, sometimes I have to look on my phone and see what my name is and see where my address is at. Sometimes I wonder if I ain't coming down with Alzheimer's or whatever, but hey, I'm going to still try to do what God's allowed me to do. But here this morning, I want to try to bring you a message on this thought. Are you satisfied with Jesus? Are you satisfied with Jesus? Psalms chapter 63, verse 1, it says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Verse 3, because thou loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Verse 4 says, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watch, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadows of thy wing will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me, but thou that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower part of the earth. There's number two more verses. Let me go and read them too. Verse 10, it says, thou shalt fall by the sword. They shall be a portion of foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Now, Father, we thank you for this again, Father, the where we can be in the house of the Lord. And Father, we pray this right now, Lord Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will come down on the scene and, Father, manifest itself among thy people. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school hour. We thank you, Father, for each and every individual that made thyself present this morning. And Father, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you'll bless them in a special way today. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. Let's look back up to verse 5. It says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. My soul shall be satisfied. Is your soul satisfied this morning? Are you satisfied with Jesus? Are you satisfied with what Jesus has done in your life? I am completely satisfied with everything that he has for me, everything that he has done for me, and everything that where he has brought me through. I'm satisfied completely with him. I don't have no confrontation with him. I don't have no ill feelings towards him because things didn't go my way. But I come to find out in waiting on the Lord, it come about, but it come about in the time frame that he had for my life. Not this time frame that I had, because you can ask my wife if you want to after service, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm the most impatient individual that there is, I reckon. When I say I need it now. I don't need to wait 5 minutes. I don't need to wait next week, but I want it now. And I think a whole lot of us can say that, really, that we're all impatient. And sometimes we get so impatient with what that we went to the Lord about. And I know you've been to the Lord many a times. Maybe you've been to the Lord every day about the church and the church's situation, the church's finances, and the people that's got away from God and just, they just got away from God. They backslid. They just ate in the world. They won't even come back to the house of God. But you get impatient with God because you want to see the results now. You want to see Him do something now. But we need to wait. We need to wait patiently for the Lord. Because when the Lord does it, He's going to do it in His own time frame, because our time frame and His time frame is not alike. Because what does He say a day is? A day is 1,000 years. Well, you think about that now. Lord, I'd like to see You do something tomorrow. I'd like to see You do something today. See, today is 1,000 years with Him. So He's got time. What He's got time for, He's got time. Because when He does it, it's going to be complete. It's going to be perfect. And everybody's going to be happy with it. But see, if we get involved in it, if I get involved in it, if I do something about that, I'm going to push it along and try to get going now, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen to the point it's going to get worse than get better. Now, I know that you've heard preachers say in the past that right now, the time that we're living in, even over there in the book of Timothy chapter 2, it says, perilous times are coming. We're going to see where there's going to be lovers of men, women lovers of women. We're going to see all these things come to pass. They didn't already come to pass. They're here. They're among us. They're among us. But if we don't watch out, and if we get too ahead of God, then Satan will allow some of that to come into the church house. We need to wait on God, and we don't need to be so impatient that we just say, well, here comes somebody. They knew. I ain't never seen them before. But we need to watch out. Because the devil, Satan, Lucifer, that old slew foot, he knows his scripture better than anyone else that I know of. He even knew the scripture better than Paul knew it. And Paul was a scholar. Paul knew the scripture. Paul knew how many different languages it was there? 7 or 8? Paul knew all of this. He'd been to the school. He'd been to the Sanhedrin desert. He'd been out there to the Sanhedrin school. He had got along with God. And that's the reason that he was so effective in his ministry. That's the reason he was so effective in what he was doing. It's because that he got along with God and he heard the voice of God. And he didn't have no other people around him. He didn't have them there that was following him. He was alone with God out in his Sanhedrin desert. He could hear that small, still voice from God. And when he heard that small, still voice from God, he listened. He listened. Today, we don't listen. We don't listen to that small, still voice anymore. We don't hear that small, still voice anymore. That's the reason I believe that people has got so caught up in the things that they're caught up in. They think, well, now I can stay home and I can watch TV preaching. I can go out here. I can go down to the Cowboy church down here and I can hear some good preaching down there. Well, I'll tell you something. The devil is in all of that. The devil's in, if we don't watch it, the devil can get into the services right here. We must be mindful that who we're serving. And we must search out the scripture and who we're serving. And we must try the spirit. I'm satisfied with the gospel. I'm satisfied with the Bible that I preach from. I'm satisfied with it. Because this Bible right here that I hold in my hand, the King James Bible, it was good enough for three men to bring it to my house and lead me to the Lord. And if it was good enough for them to bring to my house, and if it was good enough for them to take it and lead me to the Lord where I'd get saved, and if it was good for that, and it was good for me to get into church and hear the gospel and try to grow, then it's good for me to preach from. It's good for us to use His word. But I'll tell you something right now. When we get to heaven, praise God, He's not going to ask for my book at the judgment seat of Christ. He's not going to ask for this book. He's not going to ask for my book. He's not going to ask for your book. When He judges us in what we have done since we've been saved, we're going to have to give an account of what we've done with Him since we've got saved. You know, over there in the where Jesus was talking to the men there on the fishing boat and everything, and they was fishing on it, they was casting a net on the left side and in the back of the boat and all of that, and they was drawing up in nets and they won't never catch nothing. And they got so disgusted, they was standing, they was been out there, I don't know how long they'd been out there, they was getting disgusted. Well, I don't know how many have been out here fishing or not, but I remember before I got saved, yes, me and my best friend at that time, he's still my best friend today because he's still saved. And he was one individual that kind of got me in church and got them individuals to come to my home and lead me to the Lord. But before we got saved, before he got saved, and before I got saved, we spent Saturday, and we spent Sunday going to a lake somewhere. And some days we'd go out there and we'd get down to Bugs Island Lake, and we'd put in down at Grassy Creek. We'd put in at daylight. It would be 5 o'clock in the morning. We just took your boat off of the trailer. We'd stay out there all day and wouldn't catch a thing. Wouldn't catch a thing. Out there all day. Now you don't talk about being tired, and that you can get tired in doing that and not catching nothing. And just sitting there and waiting because you're anticipating the next cast out, you're gonna be catching something. That's the same way with the fishermen here. They're casting a net out and they was drawing it back in, but won't nothing on the net. And then Jesus saw him and he told him, he said, now you cast the net on the right side of the boat. And they listened. And they came back up with a net full of fish that day. How many fish was it? One scripture doesn't, in one of the gospels it doesn't say, but in another one of the gospels it does say. It said it was 153 fish. A preacher told me, says that what they're speaking about and taking that into the Christian realm and what the Christian must do and being a witness for the Lord, that every Christian born again within their lifetimes being a Christian, they should strive to win 153. souls to the Lord. And that preacher said, and that preacher was telling me, and which I'd never heard that before, but he was telling me, and he says, you take that 153 per individual that goes out here and witnesses and try their very best to plant that seed and win someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you take the members, a number of people that's just in the United States of America. The 153. It's up in the thousands and the millions of people in America that would be saved. And then around the world, they talk about all the different numbers. They say when you go around and you count all the people, and then you take them and you multiply that times 153, that means that every child of God, every child that was born into this world, that what God has given them breath to live, that they to be saved. What did God say? What did the Lord Jesus say? He didn't save, he came. What did he do? He come to seek and to save the ones that were lost. He came to seek and to save the whosoever will. The whosoever will. Who is that? That's me. That's you. That's the individual. That's John out here. That's Jackie. That's whoever it is. We can put their name right there in the whosoever will. We need to be witnesses. We need to be fishers of men. But there are some things that I'm not satisfied with. And it hurts me. I'm not satisfied the way the America is going. I'm not satisfied with that. It hurts me when you got people out here. It hurts me where you got individuals out here that's starting and they got church on it. And cannot nobody tell me that they ever been affiliated with God? They don't know God. I believe they know nothing but the devil and themselves, because here the other, I believe it was this past week, I don't know if anybody saw it or not, on TV. There's a church. I don't know if it's California or not. Somewhere. It won't in the state of Virginia, North Carolina, or even in the southern part. But this church now was a nudist church. That's coming in, and they were singing about the love of God. And they were singing about God. And they said that they knew that they was in the will of God. I don't believe that. No man in the world. I don't believe that. They are so far away from God. It's pitiful. We need to pray for them. I believe my wife saw it on TV, didn't you? It's sickening. It's sickening the way the church has done God. But don't let's stop there. That's here in the United States now. That's going to come in time and place. If God tarries, will come a time and place where these doors is going to be locked. And they're going to have chains on them. The windows is going to be boarded up. Not just this church, all the churches. Why? Because we're not going to be able to come in here and worship Lord God Almighty here in His sanctuary. We're not going to be able to stand and preach here. If we do any of that for God, we're going to have to do it in our basement. And when we do it in our basement, we're going to have to be real quiet about it, but we're not. They're coming in, they're going to take a home. Because here in the United States, it's already started. I've seen it where it's already started, out in the Midwest. In a small city there, in the neighborhood, it's less than 10,000 in its town, but they call it a city. No, I don't call it a city. I call it a, I don't know what, I don't know where the people can come with this stuff. But the council, the men of that city that was elected in office, that before a preacher can be able to stand in his pulpit on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, and before he can open the Word of God and preach from it, that he has got to submit his notes and what he's going to preach on to the council before the service starts. And if he preaches on anything else, they're going to lock him up. And one thing I can say is they're going to lock me up, because I'm not going to preach what they tell me to preach. I'm going to preach hell hot, I'm going to preach heaven sweet, and I'm going to preach against the sodomites, I'm going to preach against this, and I'm going to preach about the drunkards, and it's not about the alcoholics I hear. That's something else that the United States has got approved, that they got approved by this group of people, that yes, we can call them alcoholics now. We can't use the word drunkard, because that's going a little bit too far. Well, how far can you go? We must get back to serving the Lord. We need to get back. And I believe my heart that not only do we need to pray for the church, and we need to pray for each and every preacher, each and every evangelist that will take a stand, and they'll take a stand and stand on the Word of God. And not only that, we don't need to get up from the altar. We need to stay there at the altar until we get our own life right. And then we need to pray for the United States of America. And we need to start praying right there at the White House. We need to start praying for him, because that man is just as well lost as I was lost for 30 years. He is just as lost today as I was. And he's going to die and go to hell. I don't love the things he's doing, and I don't love the way he's taking this country, but I do love him as a soul. I want him to see him saved. And if we cannot, they say, I have people say, well, we need to pray for Congress. We need to pray for the Senate. We need to pray for the governors. Well, we need to start at it, pray for the White House. If that man up in the White House, if the Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of his heart, and if he turns away from what he'd been doing, and he said, yes, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe everything the Holy Spirit's told me. And everything that I've been doing has been a lie. And I want to trust you as my Savior and Lord. Would you save me? And it's just as he said that, he's just as much saved as I am. But I'll tell you something else that would happen. You would see where the next morning he'd go into the White House. They think about some things going on up there that people don't like. If that happened, it would definitely be reversed. The Christians, they would love to see him do that. They would love to see him bring the country back to what it was founded on. But yet you'd have some people up there fighting him though. You'd have the abortion people up there. They'd be fighting. No, you ain't turning. You're not going to touch that. No, you can't touch that. You can't touch this one. That's past. That's law. Well, hey, all he's got to say, well, when I was first here, and when I was law,
I was changing everything for y'all then. Now I'm saved. God loved me. He loved me enough that I went to Calvary. That he went to Calvary for my sin. And he hung there for me and for me only. You need to trust me. That right there is what the United States needs. The United States of America don't need more churches. The United States of America don't need no more good preaching. The United States of America needs well. The White House in Washington, D.C. get right with God. And I've had people tell me, it'll never happen. It'll never happen in this lifetime. I said, you know something? I still surprise people today. They're coming to me and say, man, I heard you preach your name. I said, yeah. I said, but I'm saved, man. They said, what? I said, yeah, I'm born again. They said, I'd have never thought that you would ever go to church. I said, you know something? You ain't got to tell me that. Because I was thinking the same thing. I said, I don't want no part of that. Why do I need to waste my time on Sunday to go to church? When I can be going down to the lake and fishing, I got a boat right there and I got tackle. I don't need church. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes in, when the Holy Spirit brings conviction to your heart, brings conviction to your soul, then what happens? Somebody else has moved in. That's the teacher. He's trying to teach me what the Word of God is saying. He's teaching me that I was lost. And he's teaching me about hell. He's teaching about me. He's teaching. And he's telling other people about me. He said, that boy's lost. You need to go see him. I went to a church down here in Halifax.
I don't know, a couple, 2 or 3 years ago now. Maybe a little longer, a little less, I don't know. Went down and fill in one Sunday for the preacher down there. And I got up and everything.
And it was an individual sitting back there on this side of the church next to the back row. And he said, I saw the name, but he says, I saw the name in the bulletin and everything.
He says, I know that name from somewhere. He said, but I can't remember. So he said, when I got up, from where I was sitting at, I sat with my wife about the, I don't know, third or fourth pew back. When I got up, when I come on up here and then walked up here, he back there just a grinning. He knew exactly who I was. I never thought he'd ever get in church. I never thought I'd ever see the day where he'd get in church. Why? Because of the life that he was living. He thought he'd never see the day that I'd ever be in church. Why? Because of the life that I was living. But it's something about this book. It's just something about this book, which is the Bible. It's something about it that you can get in and read it. And when you read it, that it speaks back to you. I know the author of this book. I know the author of this book. I know who wrote this book. Yes, it was over 40 different individuals that penned the words down. But they were led by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. What God allowed the Holy Spirit to be able to touched the fingertips of each and every one of these men, but it was the Holy Spirit, the inspiration that came from God, where the Holy Spirit would allow these men to pin it down. I knew who this book was written for. It was written for the sinners. It was written for the Christian to be able to take this book and lead the sinner to the Lord. That's what this book is all about. But not only do I know the author, but when I get and read it, the author always speaks back. Always speaks back. You can always have a personal relationship with the author. And I got plenty of other books at the house. Yes, and they are written by other people, commentaries. They're written by other people. I can get in there, I can read some of their writings and everything, but I'm not moved. I'm not moved like this one moves me. I'm not moved. That's the reason that we as individuals, we as Christians, we done got into a rut that we don't want to be moved. And I don't know, I can't think of the title of the song. Oh, thou shalt not be moved. I mean, it had to be an individual who wrote that song that I believe that knew about it. You ain't gonna move me, Lord. I'm right here in my seat, and you ain't gonna move me. I'm right here. You ain't gonna move me. You can try, you can do anything you want to, but you ain't gonna move me. This is my seat. It's got my name on it. Oh, well, James's church one night was having a revival. They was having a revival over there, and I went and I was going to it and everything. And one of the ladies in the church, she's dead gone, bless her heart, but she had always sat on the second row on this side and right almost about right there on the end. This preacher had come to the revival that night. He come in and naturally, I don't know why, but all preachers, they usually come in. They'll come as close as they can to the front, I reckon, because they don't want to be disturbed by everything. But he come in and he sat down right there where she usually sits. And she come in a little later and everything, and she come in, and when she come in, she went to her where her seat was, and he was sitting there, had already been taken, and it wasn't nobody on the front row, and even on the third row, wasn't nobody had come in and sat down on the third row. But she looked at that preacher. She says, "Preacher, I'm sorry, but you got my seat." You know what he done? He just got up, went on back to the back pew. He said, "Well, I reckon I can get back here." Well, we shall not be moved. God, you can't move me. I'm here. I got things I got to do. You can't move me. That's just like going out and talking to somebody. God said, "Well, Donna, I need you to go talk to them. Donna, I just need for you to go out there and do a little work for me today." How long do you think that he would allow me to preach if I'm up and say, "Well, sorry, Lord, not today. I can't be moved today. I'm tired and I'm wore out." Hey, he was tired too. He was wore out too. The scripture tells us when he was carrying that cross up to Mount Golgotha's hill that day, he had to have some help in carrying that cross and bearing the load. We need to bear some of his burdens also, because he has burdens. He has feelings. We don't think he does. We don't think he has feelings. We don't think he has burdens. But he does. I believe he has feelings, and I believe he has burdens just like us as individuals. Because he experienced the same kind of feelings and the same kind of burdens and the same kind of temptations that we are faced with today. He faced them also when he was in the man, in the flesh of man, when he's called God-man. He was in flesh. He took on the fleshly body. You see, we have the fleshly body all the time. But are you satisfied? Are you satisfied in what you're doing now? Are you satisfied in what you're doing for the Lord? How many individuals that maybe that you know of that, yes, that used to come to this church, but they haven't come back? They used to be here all the time. Sunday morning for Sunday school, Sunday morning preaching, Sunday night, maybe on Wednesday night if they weren't working or whatever. When's the last time you called them? Well, I called them a couple weeks ago. Have you called them since then? We need to call them. We need to just let them know that we miss them. We miss them. And not only do we miss them, and do you miss them, but you tell them that most of all, God misses you. God misses you. God does miss them. God knows everything. God knows exactly what individuals are doing. God knows exactly what's on our heart this morning. He knows exactly what's on my heart this morning. He knows exactly what's on your heart this morning. But let me ask you this. Are we willing to move for him to be able to take care of that care, or take care of that burden, or take care of that problem that may be in our life? Are we willing to do something for him? I tell people all the time, if you don't do anything for God, God's not going to do nothing for you. And I believe that. Because it goes back to back over in the book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 10 there. It speaks about the storehouse of God. It speaks about the tithing also. A 10% of what we earn, a 10% of what we have belongs to God. It belongs to him. It's his. And he's not going to bless us because we have given him a 10% of everything that we have. Where he blesses us is when we go above that 10%. When we go above it, which is called an offering, which is called a sacrifice. We need to sacrifice something for him. And I honestly believe you that are here this morning, you don't want to see this church close, do you? You don't believe God wants it closed, do you? You do not believe that. And if you do not want it to close, if you don't want it to continue on like it's going, it's up to you. It's up to you. God is waiting. God is willing to do his part. But he's got to see where that you are willing to do your part first. Just like the offering, just like the sacrifice. You've got to sacrifice some time. We all need to sacrifice some time. I need to sacrifice a little more of my time to the Lord. We all do. Why? Nothing else, because of what he's done for us, because he saved us. He has given me a life now that I never would expect before. And if nothing else, we should be able to lift our hands toward heaven, because we're not going to hell. That right there is enough to shout over. Well, because we are not going to hell. Are you satisfied with what God is telling you to do in the book? This is the book. This is where we get our answers from. I have questions all the time. I've had questions about this and that in the Bible. I've had questions about what was it like for Abraham to go and offer up his son Isaac. I have questions about that. I had questions about what was it thorn in Paul's flesh. I have questions for that. Then I was thinking one time, I said, well, when I get to heaven, then I can ask Paul what that was. I can ask Abraham, what was it like to be able to go and to obey God and then lay his son on the altar and to sacrifice his own son. What was it like to pull that knife from his shaft and down there off of his side and to come up so far and then started coming down? What was it like for him to do that? And I get questions. How did he feel? But you know something, I got to reading. The answer was right here in the book. It was right in the book. What does it say? I'm going to be changed in a moment. In a twinkling of an eye, I'm going to be changed. I'm going to have on the robe of righteousness. I'm going to have the flesh like unto the Son of God. I'm going to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was telling somebody that one time, and they said, well, how do you know when you get there? How are you going to know Jesus when it's going to be millions of other people there? How are you going to be able to pick him out of the crowd? And how are you going to be? I said, he is the only one that's going to be there. He's going to have a star of God. The prince is happy. The prince is happy. Thank you.
I see him, and if I see him, he's as far away from that door to me, I'm gonna bow down like that. I'm not gonna get no closer. I'm gonna bow down like that. The way I see him, I'm gonna bow down. I'm gonna say, then we'll pray him that he's off of me. And I pray that I get some. Go this way. Thank you. Our Father today, we pray, Father God, that you would be with this dear church. Father, be with each and every individual that's here. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that they can leave this church today with a new desire. And Father, I pray, God, and wish that I know that each one of them, in talking to them, that Father, I know really probably deep down in their heart that they're really satisfied with what you've done in their life. But Father, there's things that's come about now, Father, that seems like that they didn't have any control over. Father, we know, Lord Jesus, if they would just look in the book and do what you ask them to do, Father. We know, Lord Jesus, that you can bring this church back. Father, where people will come in, where the altar can be full, and where souls can be saved for the glory of God. Where children, where young people can come in. Father, as the church goes forth, Father, that the people that goes by this church, they say, they must be doing something. Now, right. Something is going on. The Father used to go by that, but it won't be so very difficult. And now, Father, it seems like the parking lot has had food. Lord, we need to just go and see what's happening. Father, we pray, Lord God, because you can do more. Father, touch you once, and it wasn't here today. One that's just sick today in body. We ask Father God to do the good. Bring them back to the answer for his name. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen.
Let's sing a couple of verses of 318. I need thee every hour. 318. The Lord for what he's done today. We appreciate Brother Mahan being here, his wife, and We're going to be doing the same thing tonight at 5 o'clock. So I hope everybody can be here. I'm thinking with the warm day, we might just meet over here in the sanctuary, but we'll see how the temperature is tonight. So look forward to seeing everybody tonight.